I just wanted to come by and congratulate you on the great work you've been doing.
I like your style. You remind me of a young me.
Failure is not an option.
That boy is good.
Home, remind yourself. Nobody built like you. You design yourself.
Attaboy.
Highlight and positivity during this segment is called Attaboy. But in this case, I'm going Attagirl because history was made yesterday. Sarah Thomas became the first woman to officiate a playoff game with the Chargers and the Patriots. So attagirl to Sarah Thomas. That is a really, really, really cool accomplishment there. And if you got two eyes and a brain, you should be a referee. I don't care what color you are, what gender you are, you should be able to ref. And when you got guys like out here like Pat Adams refereeing, officiating, we need all the help we can get. And he was the official, one of the officials in the Tennessee-Florida game. He is not great at all. But anyways, this segment is about showing love, showing props, and we do that to Sarah Thomas. So congratulations, making history. First female, first woman to officiate a playoff game in the NFL.
Yes, that is beautiful to see, and I personally love watching Becky Hammon on the sideline with the Spurs. I mean, She is essentially Greg Popovich's right-hand woman, right-hand assistant, and it's been really cool to see females buck some trends and really be an influence on young females everywhere. I have a little sister who I want the world to be given to her, and so it's really cool to see people like Becky Hammon really set a trend and be the first female to be an assistant coach in the NBA. So I love that attagirl from you, Swain. My attaboy goes to a barbershop that is helping local kids build their confidence by reading in front of others while getting a haircut. Plus, while they're reading and getting their haircut, they receive $3 while in the chair. And this is happening in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. And this was on Instagram from City Cuts Barbershop. So I believe that is the name of the barbershop in Pennsylvania, City Cuts Barbershop. That is helping kids learn how to read while he cuts their hair. And there's a video of a little boy sitting up in his booster seat reading. I can't really tell what he's reading, but imagine it's a kid's book.
He's reading a book.
A Sports Illustrated magazine, something along those lines. And the barber stopped cutting his hair for a moment and helped him pronounce a word. So I thought that was very cool. So attaboy to City Cuts Barbershop in Kutztown, Pennsylvania.
Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. 865-255-03.
We've got Jared on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline.
Jared, good morning.
Good morning. Good Monday.
Good Monday. Good Monday to you, sir.
Oh, man. I didn't get tuned in until about 15 to 8, so I don't know if we've talked about it or not. But can we talk about the chomp?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we definitely talked about it, but, hey, we got some more takes that we can give on that.
Well, and I'm sure you have too, Swain. I've been watching this team since they were freshmen. And I think there was a reporter, and I'm not going to say his name, but I seen it on Twitter, where Schofield says they were calling him names and the inhumanitary names, but he refused to repeat it. And that's out of character for these guys. So I'm sure if they did it, the Florida fans probably deserved it. So I'm going to take up for them, man.
It's just a chump. It's not like they said anything. It's not like they dropped the middle finger to anyone.
Not even a throat slash.
Yeah, it was just a chump. And again, like you said, the throat slash is probably the second worst thing to throwing up a middle finger. This is not a big deal. This is just them saying, we heard you all game, and we just giving you that same energy back that you gave us.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a few people upset, but yeah, people try to make something out of nothing. I mean, that's just how we are these days. Or I don't mean me. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's talk about Thompson Bowl. How much? I mean, I've been to Ruck and watched Tennessee play, and I've been to Thompson Bowl and went Bruce was there, Jerry Green was there, and O'Neill. But outside of those two, I've never really been to any basketball arenas. What's TBA like compared to, like in the SEC, where would you rank it as? When it's rocking, where would you rank it as one of the toughest places to play in the SEC?
When it's rocking, I'd say number two behind Rupp.
Yeah. Well, we need to get us to number one. I don't want to be behind Kentucky at anything.
That's hard, man. That's going to be hard to take over that number one spot because Rupp, you know, they got the Rupperies. Mm-hmm. Those Kentucky fans, they get up. But I think we'll have a chance to compete to get that number one spot. But I think it's going to take a lot, man. I do got to tip my cap to the Kentucky basketball fans. They bring it. They bring it every night.
Now, I will say, just following Matt Jones and Kyle Tucker, who covers Kentucky basketball for The Athletic, following those two on Twitter, there's been some sentiment early on in the season, and I remember seeing some last year of disappointment in attendance from Kentucky fans. Not necessarily nobody showing up, but a lot of people showing up late, which is uncharacteristic from Kentucky fans. And though it's not empty, not necessarily to capacity. And maybe that has something to do with them playing the Little Girls at the Blonde every home game in the non-conference. But some other arenas that are tough to play in, Bud Walton Arena at Arkansas, that is a very tough place to play.
Yep.
Right now, because of how small it is and the way Bruce has things going at Auburn Arena will be a very tough place to play for Tennessee during its last game of the year. I imagine as a player, you talk about it in football, but South Carolina and that stupid crow going on in the arena, I'm sure that is annoying. Obviously, the O-Dome is tough to play. But like last year, I went to Tuscaloosa and watched Tennessee play at Alabama, and Alabama had all the momentum during the game, and it wasn't all that impressive. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Tennessee fan and I hate Alabama. It truly wasn't impressive. I mean, it was just kind of they were just there because it was Alabama.
They thought they were going to see Nick Saban walk in with the recruits. Yes.
Like, I'm sure if Nick Saban walked in, they would have been 10 times more energetic.
You got to also give some credit to Florida because they have a pretty tough place to play, and their student section do a really good job of getting loud, staying loud.
Mm-hmm.
All the birds that was thrown to all our players when they did the Gator Chomp, you know, that's just kind of part of it.
Well, it's just like after Florida beat Florida State this season, Florida players are doing the chop that Florida State always does, and then they do a throat slash. But Florida fans don't think that's classy. Tennessee fans do a simple Gator Chomp for 2, 3, 4 seconds after the game, and Tennessee is classless? Yeah. What are you talking about? Your players, your football team, imitated Florida State's chop that they do, and then did a throat slash.
Let's not even get to when Mike the Tiger passed away.
Ooh.
And there were some Florida fans who were holding up a skeleton of an animal making fun of the passing of Mike the Tiger. Ooh. Let's not even get on that because that happened too. 865-255-03. But going back to the game, because you can let the chop or the chomp or whatever overshadow that this basketball team went into a hostile environment, took Florida's best punch, and still won the game. I mean, outshot them 50-something percent to 30-something percent.
Mm-hmm.
And almost lost that game. But for Tennessee to win just tells you, this team is for real. And if you're going to be a championship team, you have to learn to win in different ways. You have to. There's not one way to skin a cat. If you're going to win the title, you have to win when your best players are on the bench. You have to win when the referees are not giving you the whistle. You have to win when the other team is just hot and everything's going their way. You have to find ways to win. And Tennessee is gaining these experiences along the way that's going to help them come time the tournament. Tennessee out-rebounded Florida by 8 rebounds. Tennessee shot from three better, even though it doesn't seem like it, because Florida lit it up there in the first half. But Tennessee, again, 53% from the field, and Florida 35%.
I like
this team is fun, man.
Jimmy Dykes was once again on the call, and I could listen to Jimmy Dykes talk basketball all day long. And I love what he tweeted after the game, saying that somebody tweeted at him and said, "Coach Jimmy Dykes, best in the business, and showed it again today. Really enjoyed the call as usual. Seemed like an electric environment." And Jimmy Dykes quoted that tweet and said, "Gators would have beaten 95% of the teams in the country in that building tonight. Vols are just road guts tough." And that couldn't be more true. And I also, Joe Lenardi said that he will be moving Tennessee back to his top line of number one seeds after extremely solid win at Florida will bump one of the Big Ten teams. So that just speaks to Tennessee's performance. And I think it's funny just how on point KenPom is, because KenPom projected Tennessee to win by 1 point, 68-67, and Florida scored 67 points.
My question is, Joe Lenardi, why was Tennessee not one of your top four teams?
I think he was projecting a long ways out. I think that's how somebody can correct me on this if I am wrong, but I believe he projects rather than picking his four number one seeds based off of what they have done now. So I'm guessing he was thinking that at some point Tennessee was going to falter once or twice, whereas Michigan just keeps on winning, Duke keeps on winning, Virginia keeps on winning, Gonzaga, they're not going to lose in their non-conference play just because they're in the Western Conference. They don't play anybody. Their toughest challenge was Friday night on the road at San Francisco. I mean, that's their toughest opponent in conference play. And whereas Tennessee, they have to go to Rupp Arena. They have to go to Auburn Arena, and that arena will be packed. They have to go to Memorial Gymnasium, and even though Vandy is down, it seems like Vandy always plays Tennessee tough in that gym. So I think he was doing a little projection rather than picking his top seeds based off of what they had already done, which I don't know that I like that.
I can see Coach Fulmer right now.
He's sweating right now.
Who is helping Pruitt put together an awesome staff this offseason to go out there and coach at a high level and recruit at a high level. He already did that with Jim Chaney. Coach Fulmer is dedicated to fixing football. And I can see Coach Fulmer being like, "Come on, Holly. I mean, Holly, I'm trying to do football over here. I'm trying to fix football. You supposed to be taking care of the basketball thing. I'm not supposed to be worried about you coaching this Lady Vol basketball team." Well, the first time since 1986, this Tennessee basketball program, they've lost three games in a row. And here we are.
It's the first time they've ever lost three straight SEC games. It has never happened until now. And the last time that Tennessee lost three in a row, it was to number 18 Mississippi State, number 5 Louisiana Tech, and number 16 Auburn, I believe. And now they've lost to an unranked Missouri team, a top 25 Ole Miss or Kentucky team that lost to a terrible Ole Miss team yesterday, and then an unranked Georgia team.
And they were up by
17.
And had 17 turnovers, hit their season average on the day.
Like they did, their season average is worse than how many times they turned it over yesterday, and they turned it over 1,000 times. And now Tennessee goes to Alabama on Thursday night, and the Lady Vols have lost four straight to Alabama. To Alabama, whose basketball, women's basketball program has not been good. It's just
I'm trying, Holly, I'm trying for you. I'm a VFL just like you. I'm trying to help you here. But you ain't helping me.
She continues to be on the wrong end of first. There's always a first with this program over the last year or two.
865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Be right back.
Touchdown or Turnover is up next on the Swain Event.
When I made the move to my own studio, I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about, hey, did I get this piece of equipment? Did I get that piece of equipment? Does that sound good? Does that not sound good? One thing I didn't have to worry about, that was Office Furniture, because Office Furniture Outfitters met my furniture needs. With a 50,000 square foot facility, they have East Tennessee's largest selection and are the best value for new and used office furniture. Located in Knoxville, it's easy to find everything you need for your new space, including desks, file cabinets, chairs, conference tables, and more. Office Furniture Outfitters is turnkey. They came to my place, we mapped everything out that was needed, they delivered, and get this, set everything up. To learn more about what Office Furniture Outfitters can do for you, log on to OFONOX.com. That's OFONOX.com.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union has helped people save money for almost 80 years. Whether it's free checking, financing a vehicle, or purchasing that new home, Alcoa 10 is here to help you. Better rates, better service. Check them out at atfcu.com.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Member NCUA.
Down or Turnover is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong, better rates and better service, atfcu.com. Touchdown Turnover, the Saints versus the Chiefs is the best possible Super Bowl matchup that we could ask for as football NFL fans. The Saints and the Chiefs, the best possible matchup for the Super Bowl that we can ask for. Touchdown, turnover.
I'll say touchdown. I think the NFL might want the Patriots in there just for the simple fact that they could play the villain role and people are going to tune in just to see if the Patriots lose, as was the case last year with the Eagles and the year before with the Falcons blowing their lead. Sorry, Seth Stokes. But for me as a fan, I definitely want to see the Saints in there over the Rams, mainly because of Alvin Kamara. I like Drew Brees. I love watching Michael Thomas run routes and catch the football. He is unbelievable. And there's some sentiment that he's playing as the best receiver in the NFL right now. I don't know if I'd go that far, but he is one of the top five right now.
Oh, yeah, he is.
In my opinion. And then on the flip side, I would much rather see the Chiefs in the Super Bowl than Tom Brady. I just despise the New England Patriots. And there's a little Bama effect there. I'm tired of seeing them in the championship game. So I'll go touchdown. I want to see Saints and Chiefs. I think Drew Brees, the veteran, the savvy veteran versus the young gunslinger and Patrick Mahomes. I think that would be a great storyline, and it'd be cool to watch from a Tennessee perspective, possibly AK pick up his first Super Bowl ring, a year removed from Derek Barnett picking up his first Super Bowl ring, and then Eric Berry would also have the chance, even though he probably won't play because of injuries, he would still get a Super Bowl ring with Khalil McKenzie and the Colquitts. So I think it would be a very fun matchup.
I'm going to say touchdown, man. I want to see the Saints against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Couple reasons. The first reason pertaining to the Tennessee former players is that this game, Super Bowl this year, will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is in Atlanta, home of Eric Berry and home of Alvin Kamara. And I think that would be really, really cool. I remember when the Steelers won it, when Jerome Bettis retired that year. That was in Detroit.
Yep.
And that's where he's from. So, really cool to see. Would be really cool to see Alvin Kamara and E.B. Eric Berry back home in their hometown competing for a championship. So that's the first thing. The second thing is Patrick Mahomes may be your NFL MVP, and it's always good to have Heisman Trophy winner playing for a championship, NBA MVP playing for a championship. In this case, Patrick Mahomes, more than likely being the NFL MVP, he will be playing the Super Bowl. That's always good because he can validate that award on the biggest stage. That would be really cool. You get offense. When you get offense at its best, and look at the last four remaining teams. You have the Rams, you have the Chiefs, you have the Saints, and you have the Patriots. These four teams are the top four teams in offense in the league. One through four, these are your top four teams. I think the Chiefs are number one, and then I think the Chiefs or the Rams are number one. The Saints are number two, and the Patriots are number four, something like that.
I'll consult
I know Patriots are four, but top four offenses. And it was said that defense wins championships. Not this year. It is offense.
The Patriots are number one. The Rams are number two. Kansas City is number three. And the Saints are number four. And that is yards per game. Scoring
is a little different.
Points per game. New England is first at 41 points per game. Is this just playoff stats? Oh, this is 2018 postseason.
Let's
go back to the regular season.
Because in regular season, it's like 30s.
I was so confused by that.
Yeah, it's like 30s.
Yards per game. Chiefs were number one in the regular season, then the Rams. The Bucks were number three, and the Steelers were number four.
Go points per game in the regular season.
Points per game.
Yeah, points per game in the regular season.
Kansas City number one.
There you go.
Rams number two.
There you go.
Saints number three. Patriots number four.
There you go. Yeah.
But what was cool is, you know, month and a half ago, we had that terrific Monday Night Football game between the Chiefs and the Rams, and everybody was like, oh, it's the end of defensive football as we know it. I don't believe Jared Goff threw a passing touchdown in the Rams win, and I believe I heard Patrick Mahomes. I didn't get a chance to watch the Chiefs game, but I don't believe Patrick Mahomes threw a touchdown in that game. I'll double check
that. You mean the playoff game?
Yes, in the playoff game.
Yeah, I didn't watch most of it either.
He did not. He was 27 of 41 for 278 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. So it was cool to see the Chiefs and the Rams have that high-profile offensive football game and then come out and win in other ways. And I was surprised by how the Chiefs front seven manhandled that Colts offensive line.
Yeah.
The Colts were not able to do anything.
Yeah.
And I was also surprised by the Chargers. I had a lot of faith in them, and they completely let me down. Dadgummit.
Phillip Rivers.
Poor guys, 0-8 against Tom Brady.
Yeah, I didn't watch a lot of NFL football on Sunday like I wanted to. I was, I'm now coaching fifth grade girls basketball.
Uh-oh.
Now, so that's right.
You got your whistle?
I ordered them. They're in the way.
So do you wear your basketball shoes, kind of like Kevin Beard did with his wide receiver cleats, and do you have the Coach Z wristbands going on?
No wristbands, no basketball shoes, because I love Jordan. So, but I'm not wearing Jordans. I'm telling you, I wear my Adidas, my Ultra Boost. Those are my favorite pair of shoes right now. So they're very, very comfortable. I'm a Nike guy, but for the comfort of my feet, I went with the Adidas Ultra Boost, and so those I wear those. So that's what I was rocking, and that's what I will be rocking. So my first love is basketball, and I played it way more than I played football. I played AAU, put way more into the sport than I did football. Just gifted at football, but AAU basketball is kind of my heart. Basketball, the game, is my heart. I love it. So, yeah, I've somehow got myself involved in that.
Do you know off the top of your head what year your oldest graduates high school? I know that's kind of a weird question.
What year is this?
2019, I believe.
So 2026.
So we can expect Little Swain playing for whoever the new Lady Vols basketball coach is about 7 years from now.
Let's go to the phones. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproof Hotline. Oh, man. Let's go. Who we got there?
D.R. Vol.
D.R. Vol, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
We're great, man. How are you?
I'm good. Did y'all happen to catch any of the Eagles game?
I did. I watched all of that.
Well, touchdown or turnover, was Michael Bennett actually wearing shoulder pads?
No, he doesn't like wearing shoulder pads because he said that he doesn't like to give the offensive line a target to grab and hold him. So that's why he doesn't wear them. It's weird seeing him out there.
I'm surprised that's legal.
Yeah, they're really, really, really small.
What's worse, that or the crop top that the NFL will not allow? Because to me, it's the shoulder pads. Bennett's shoulder pads.
I think D'R Vall.
Oh, you're asking me? I thought you were asking Swain.
Yeah,
we asked you,
D'R Vall.
I don't know. Those shoulder pads, man, they're pathetic. He didn't have that or knee pads. I figure next game he'll come out without a helmet on.
But hey.
Play rugby.
Yeah, I mean, I see where he's getting at, but good God, that's got to hurt.
I'm surprised he hasn't been hurt more during his career. But, hey, that's his thing. It works for him. He was great there with the Seahawks, and he played a good game against the Saints. Just wasn't enough offense for the Eagles to get it done.
Yeah, that D-line's nasty, especially Fletcher Cox. I can't imagine how they've been with Barnett out there last night.
Yeah, they are nasty.
But what about Eric Berry? I didn't realize he was back out again. Is that just still the lingering injury?
I believe so. I haven't seen like an official word on it, but I believe it's just that it's just lingering. It just won't go away.
I hate that. I hope he can get back to. I mean, it seems like with the cancer and then the injury, he just can't get out there long.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you get older. And it was a couple weeks ago when I just kind of came to the realization that Eric Berry is, like, on his last leg.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Eric was a true freshman, and he was making plays against the Gators, and now he's only a few years away from probably having to retire. That just lets you know that we're getting older.
Yeah, he's been listed to have a heel injury the last couple of games, which tells me that the Achilles injury that he suffered is still bugging him. And it's unfortunate because I just Twitter searched Eric Berry's name, and there are Chiefs fans questioning Eric Berry's toughness.
Oh, no.
Oh, Lord.
The guy who defeated cancer.
That's pathetic.
No, sir.
Well, hopefully I hope the Chiefs win because then and make it to the Super Bowl because that gives Eric Berry 3 weeks to get ready for the Super Bowl in his hometown. Surely he can play by then.
He'll be good. D'R Vall, thanks, man.
Thank y'all.
Ben, Jaden Hazelwood, the five-star receiver from the state of Georgia, who signed with OU, Oklahoma, announced his intentions at the All-American game, made some comments in a video calling the Georgia coaches fake. And after, I'm sure, some blowback, he put out a statement on his iPhone. He says, the context that is going around was taken out of proportion from people who didn't actually watch the show. On the show, I clearly stated that I felt UGA coaches tried to sell me a dream on how I could be used in the offense by a particular coach. And then the coach eventually left the school for another job. That was very fake to me. And I said, coaches are like used car salesmen. In recruiting, they demand loyalty from the players, but the coaches are not held to the same standard. And you know what, Mr. Hazelwood? You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. You're 100% right. Coaches are not held to the same standard. Coaches do come in and recruit you, knowing they're going to leave in a week. Knowing they're going to leave tomorrow. But they're getting paid to do a job, and that is to recruit athletes to the school that's paying them. And that's just kind of a part of the business. It really is. Now, the coach that he's referring to that left Georgia for another school, the only coach I know that left Georgia was Jim Chaney for another school. Unless you're talking about Mel Tucker, but you don't play defense, you play offense.
Yeah, but I wonder if Mel Tucker was his lead recruiter because even though he was on – nope, it was James Coley and Cortez Hankton were his lead recruiters. So it would not have been Mel Tucker.
But you don't think the offense coordinator sitting down with him and recruiting him and selling him on how they can use him in the offense?
Absolutely.
I mean, he has to be talking about Jim Chaney.
he absolutely has to be. And it doesn't make sense because Jim Chaney became Tennessee's offensive coordinator last Tuesday, which I believe was January 8th. Jaden Hazelwood, though he committed during the Army All-American game, signed with Oklahoma during the early signing period, which was a month ago. And at that time of when he signed, and even when he announced his commitment, Jim Chaney was not planning on leaving Georgia. So why is Jim Chaney being made out to be the scapegoat?
Jim Chaney was going to stay at Georgia. Georgia had, you know, offered him more money. And then Tennessee kind of offered him more money than that, and Georgia wasn't willing to match that offer. Jaden Hazelwood, he's not wrong here. I think he's trying to use Jim Chaney as a scapegoat here. I think he's referring to other coaches on that staff.
Kirby Smart.
Like, when you try too hard, sometimes when you are recruiting a young man, it does come across as fake.
Mm-hmm.
It does. When someone is over the top happy, over the top complimentary, it raises your antennas. Like, whoa, man, this dude is really extra.
We don't have to go into detail, but it is why Amari Rodgers and T. Higgins is not currently at Tennessee, because Butch Jones was that way.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you this. Because Tennessee almost messed it up with Alvin Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
Butch Jones almost messed it up.
Yep.
Because Butch Jones, like, Alvin was already coming to Tennessee. There was ties to Tennessee, Diamond DeShields, their crew from high school. You had Jason Kroom. Like, Alvin Kamara was already coming. And this is what turned so many people off about Butch Jones when he was here as Tennessee coach. He was telling all these recruits that he loved them.
Like, what?
Bro, that's you come on now. You talking to a brother from Atlanta. He's not going to believe you. You don't have to be over the top. You're not talking to some private school kid. That stuff works there. It works at Cincinnati. You don't have to do all that right now. I love you? Come on, man. Really? We just met.
Like, that's something Dabo can say to Christian Wilkins after they had gone through everything that they had gone through together over the course of 4 years at Clemson and won two national championships.
Yeah.
That's when you can say that.
Yeah. Yeah. All the coaches have a little bit of that in them, though, because recruiting has became that. Recruiting has become a dog and pony show. Recruiting has become who gives me the most attention. This is where I would go. Not what's a better fit, what's going to make me a better player, better man, what culture do I see myself playing in. That stuff doesn't matter. It's who calls me the most. It's who gives me the best edits. It's come to that in recruiting. And because of that, it's forced coaches to have to be like this. To tell recruits that they love them, to be fake. Because you got to be fake to get players. Because other young men, they're so coddled now. That's what it's become. I do like that you have players out here that don't care about that stuff.
His comments, although they don't make sense, and I do think he is trying to make Jim Chaney out to be the scapegoat, I think he feels that way about Kirby Smart and, you know, maybe the current receiver coach or James Coley or somebody of that nature. I think he feels like they are fake because it just does not make sense to blame this on Jim Chaney when at the time that he announced and signed, Jim Chaney had no intentions of leaving. This wasn't until after Hazelwood committed and signed. And so although his comments are correct in the fact that, you know, these college coaches are used car salesmen, it's a little off base for the simple fact that Jim Chaney wasn't going anywhere when you announced.
No. Fake.
Fake news.
Golly. I like Jaden Hazelwood saying what he said. Who cares, man? You're going to Oklahoma. Whatever.
Hey, something that can be used against Georgia in recruiting.
It could be, but I don't think it's going to work.
I don't either.
I Ask Nolan Smith about that new truck.
Forget about the new truck. Ask Kirby Smart about these laws that he continues to change in the state of Georgia.
I know, right? 865-255-03. Swain and Vince, stay with us.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials for the fall. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Smokehouse Stew, Barbecue Cheddar Meatloaf, or the Smoked Turkey and Dressing, which includes sliced smoked turkey and cornbread dressing paired with sautéed Brussels sprouts, mashed potatoes, and a side of turkey gravy. While Dead End offers a different specialty meal each day, you can get their Hillbilly Chili every day. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The fall flavor search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells and what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
If you aren't following the Swain Event on Twitter, then are you even on Twitter? Hit that follow button. It's the right thing to do.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. I got to get that photo of all five Tennessee players gator chomping, man. I got to get that posted somewhere in this studio. That would be fantastic. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. So, this whole transfer thing in college football, is it becoming annoying already, the usage of the word portal? Have we reached RPO status? Have we reached RPO status?
I think we have, but it doesn't bother me personally because I believe that this was going on before in the sense of now, officially, if your name is in the transfer portal, other schools are allowed to contact you and speak with you about the potential of transferring to X school. I believe that was going on beforehand. In other words, meddling in the NBA has been a big topic of discussion this year with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I think there's always been meddling in college football with other coaches trying to get kids to transfer to their school.
Yeah, that term will be called tampering. You can't tamper. Can't tamper. I agree with you. Remember when DeAnthony Arnett, receiver from Michigan, wanted to transfer to Michigan State and Derek Dooley was the head coach and he was making it really tough for DeAnthony Arnett to transfer initially. Awesome. And then Dooley released him to Michigan State because DeAnthony Arnett was talking about how he had a family member, I think it was his father, that became sick. And that was just bad PR for Derek Dooley. But what happened was that he started talking to Michigan State before going to Derek Dooley like he should have and asked for a transfer and doing it the right way. So that's why Derek Dooley was kind of bucking up and being difficult to work with. So, yes, I think tampering did go on before these new transfer rules, but I'll tell you, the word portal, man.
It's becoming a little bit annoying.
It's going to be in the Urban Dictionary if it's not already there, and people are going to be using it all the time for different reasons. You will be called a portal. You'll be referring to an automobile or some form of transportation as a portal. People will be using portal all day long. It's going to become annoying. Just like RPOs. Now, Drew Richmond, Eli Wolf, and Latrell Williams from Tennessee, they are in the transfer portal, which means they can talk to other schools about transferring. They can always come back. When I heard the news, all I said was, okay, cool, go Vols, my Tom Herman. Not because I want these guys to leave and if you don't want to be here, get out. No. Sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes you do need a change of scenery. Sometimes guys do need to transfer. Sometimes guys run from competition. Every situation is different. No one should fault Jalen Hurts for wanting to transfer.
No.
No one should fault Justin Fields for wanting to transfer. Some cases, the player should transfer. Some other cases, players should stick there, battle, fight, compete, and that's going to make you a better player and a better man. Drew Richmond, I'm really surprised that he's thinking about transferring. Really surprised.
I'm surprised if he expects to transfer to a school at the level that Tennessee is. If he's about to transfer to MTSU or Tennessee State, I don't blame him one bit.
And when you mean level of Tennessee, it's not like Tennessee is winning, but the competition that Tennessee plays
at Power 5 school,
week in and week out, I mean, where are you gonna go where you're not going to play high-level competition? In the trenches. Drew Richmond, although he was not the best player on our football team and really struggled at times, a lot of times during his career, struggled all the time living up to his five-star billing, he has been the most reliable as far as being healthy, being available. I mean, he's always been out there. He just hasn't played up to his ranking. I know he's not worried about some freshmen coming in.
It looks like it.
That doesn't make any sense. Now, the thing that surprised me more than him transferring or potentially transferring is him really considering going to the NFL, which I had heard he was considering doing. That is really shocking. If that's what he wants to do, it's his life. It's his future. He's the one who put in the work. he's the one that's going to have to put in the work moving forward. But it's a little surprising. Eli Wolf, it's not surprising because you have a tight end whose game is more finesse than what Pruitt wants from his tight ends. Mm-hmm. He wants a tight end that, number one, blocks, and the rest of the other stuff is gravy. It's the cherry on the top. He's really fast as a tight end, but he needed to gain some weight, needed to get stronger if he wanted to play in Jeremy Pruitt's style of offense that he prefers.
236-pound tight ends do not work in Jeremy Pruitt or even Jim Chaney's offense.
No.
He's more of a slot receiver.
Now, Michael Rivera was not a blocker, but that's Michael Rivera.
Yes. At least he was a big body that could get in the way.
Yeah, that's Michael Rivera. That's a little different. But I don't blame Eli Wolf one bit. He's worked himself into a scholarship here. Remember, he was a walk-on, and he has a chance to be a really good player and play mm-hmm. at the next level. I really do. I do believe he can play at the next level if he continues to work. So I'm not really surprised by Eli Wolf. You got Tennessee recruiting tight ends even now, and then you already have two tight ends that signed. I understand Eli Wolf putting his name in the transfer portal.
And both of those tight ends that Tennessee signed, one is 6'5". 250 pounds already, and the other is 6'5", 245 pounds.
Yeah, big boys.
Big boys, and with the addition of Eli Wolf and Drew Richmond to the transfer portal, that includes Will McBride, Marco Osborne, and Latrell Williams. I don't believe I'm leaving anybody out on that list. If I did, please let us know. But
yeah.
This is to be expected. This isn't anything shocking. The only way I would be surprised if a Jared Gantano transferred or somebody of that nature, somebody of that stature transferred, will be really the only time that I'm surprised.
Yeah, and then you mentioned the third one. The third one is Latrell Williams, and you know he was not the same player after he had a procedure done to his ankle. So I don't blame him for wanting a fresh start. I'm not a big fan of how his career ended up. You know, a guy that came in was really, really fast, but because of injuries, he's not the same player. I hate that for him. I hate that for him. That's tough because that's something you just can't control. 865-255-03, B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline.
Real quick on the Drew Richmond thing. I do think fans aren't going to want to hear this, but I do think it could potentially end up being a negative thing if Wanya Morris comes in and he is not ready to play right away. Because you can look at the last three big-time offensive linemen that Tennessee has brought in, and Drew Richmond, he has not worked out. Dontavius Blair did not work out. Those two did not work out because of on-the-field performance. But Trey Smith also has not worked out to the extent that Tennessee fans hoped because of health issues. It's been out of his control, but he has not been he's not in the future at offensive line, not in the future plans as of today. You can't include him in the future plans just because of the nature of his health issues. And my point in bringing all of this up is that there's no guarantee that Wanya Morris will be ready to play day one. And if Tennessee does land Darnell Wright, there's no guarantee that Darnell Wright will be ready to play day one. So like you said, though his on-the-field performance wasn't bad, and boy, are you going to have to replace a lot of pre-snap penalties going into this season, you are missing out on experience. He would have been a redshirt senior. So you are losing a lot of experience, although the ability wasn't where it should have been.
I agree with you. No, I agree 100%. Let's get to the phones this morning, and who we have there?
We've got Cam in Florida.
Cam in Florida. Good morning, Cam.
Good morning. How's it going?
Great, man. How are you?
Good, good. I was just curious if anybody knows who the tool bag that ran into Grant Williams while he was doing the chomp is.
Oh, that was that guy you were referring to is Florida's SID, and Tom Sakoyak, Tennessee's SID, kind of came out and said that that gentleman did not do that on purpose. He was trying to rush over to do his job. Him and Grant talked. He reached out to Grant. It's all good. Like, it was a total accident. It was not intentional at all.
Yeah, Tom tweeted out after the game that got blown way out of proportion. Denver Parler is the guy's name. Is good people. It wasn't intentional. Grant didn't even know it happened. Despite that, Denver sought him out and apologized before we left. Apparently, he was trying to run over to the broadcast team and inform them of some information.
Like the main thing that stuck out in the video to me, every time you watch the short little clip of him, you see him run through.
Yeah, it didn't look good, but I'm glad that Tom Sakoliak gave us that information because Vol Twitter was about to go in on that guy. So
they were going in on
that
guy.
Well, yeah, they did, but it probably would have been even worse.
Okay, yeah. Well, I was just curious about that thing.
But thank you, Cam. Appreciate it, man.
And Denver, which is – that's a cool name, Denver. He tweeted out, I see Vol Twitter is having some fun at my expense here. I was in a rush to get to the TV table to relay some info to them. I apologize to Grant for my carelessness before they left, and he was very gracious. So –
hey, shoot. Ask questions later, right?
Mm-hmm. Grant, it was cool to see some video and some pictures surface after the game of Grant and Admiral both taking time to speak with Tennessee fans. Tennessee Basketball tweeted out the video of Grant taking a selfie with the little kid, the little boy, and the little kid asked him for his towel, and Grant gave it to him, and that just made – it was like Santa came all over again. And then Grant hugged his mom and was like, I'll come out here and talk to you afterwards. And then there's a picture going around of Admiral Schofield speaking with somebody's grandparents, just having a – just sitting there having a conversation. So it was really cool to see.
Yeah. Grant, man. Grant Admiral, this basketball team. Ooh.
There's not a bad dude on that team.
Love watching him play. Love him. I can sit there and watch like a recording of the game two and three times because it's just so fun to watch those guys play the game the way it's supposed to be played. They play hard. They play tough. They're fundamentally sound. Fun to watch them. Fun to watch them. What's not fun is watching Lady Vols play right now. And here's the unfortunate thing. Yes, this basketball team, they are not playing the way they should be playing wearing the Lady Vols logo. But let's not pretend like everyone's a Lady Vol fan. There's a lot of folks who don't even follow Lady Vols, don't even watch the games, but then when Holly is struggling, this team struggle, boy, they are all over it. They have an opinion. They have something to say. And that, hey, that's whatever. You're a fan. You have that right. And it's not like you're wrong by criticizing Lady Vols right now, because this is hard to watch. And Coach Fulmer, I don't envy him at all. Now, he's AD. He won the job, so he has a job to do.
That's what he signed up for.
But if he's not careful here, and this is a tough decision that he's going to have to make one way or the other, because one bad decision, if you fire Holly and you bring in someone that's worse, we're talking about dropping off the face of the earth, possibly. That's what we're talking about.
Especially with the way women's basketball is going. So many teams are good now, whereas when Pat Summitt really had her dominant run, and not to take anything away from her, she transcended women's college basketball, but there weren't as many good teams. The SEC was not what it is now.
That's true.
There weren't as many national teams.
That's true.
So to your point, I mean, I think the Lady Vols basketball program will always be relevant, just as the football program will within its sport. But I don't think it's a tough decision for Coach Fulmer in the sense of making the decision to re-energize the program and move in a different direction. Then we can get into the conversation of you better nail the hire or else you're going to slip into a 5-6 year coma.
It's possible. It can happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tennessee football is a prime example of the possibilities here. Yeah, you were one of the big dogs. You were recruiting at a high level. You did have a lot to offer. And then other schools start figuring out things that they could offer. And they started winning too. And because you didn't make a move and you became complacent, look where you are. You're in this rut. And what you think kids care about, sometimes they don't. Tennessee, over the last 2 years, they've recruited at a high level. So that's the one thing that's good. But what if you make a wrong hire and it slips? Then Tennessee won't be that attractive place anymore for the best women's basketball players in the country. This is Coach Fulmer's toughest test. Not hiring a football coach when he did. This is going to be his toughest moment as an AD because he is a former player. Holly Warlick is a former player. Holly Warlick was a better player at her sport than Coach Fulmer was at his sport. Coach Fulmer didn't get his number retired. Holly did. Holly's name and number hangs in the Raptors every single day. And so this is tough. You have a large group of former Lady Vols, or what do you call those?
LVFLs.
Lady Vols who played here. How do they feel? Because Holly is one of them. Holly coached them. Holly coached most of them because she's been an assistant for so long. How do they feel about her? Are they wanting a change? If a change is made, do they push back against Coach Fulmer? Like, there's a lot of questions here. There's a lot going on here. And this is not easy at all. It's not easy.
It's not. But, well, I think it is, if you take emotion out, an attachment, it is an easy decision because there's no accountability on this team. This team is not coached well. I mean, they lose by 4 yesterday, another close loss. They shoot 35%, 33% from the three-point line. They miss 9 free throws. They turn it over 17 times, and they blew a 17-point lead.
It might be an easy decision to make when you look at that way.
When you look at the on-the-court product, it's an easy decision.
But again, Holly, Coach Fulmer, that dynamic.
Just got to handle it the right way.
That ain't easy, man. Hour 3 coming up.